Today on Real Radio.
When the difficult times come, a Judas will flee. A Judas will go. A Judas will do things to justify their stance or position or their direction. But a believer hangs on to Christ in the midst of a storm.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. You know, one sign that an individual is a true follower of Jesus is that he endures the hardships that accompany the life of a believer, and that he depends upon the Almighty to do so, unlike one of the most notorious figures in all history. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called You and a Judas.
In Luke chapter 22, verse 39, we get back to what's going on behind the scenes. It's very, very, listen, church, pathetic in one way and yet awesome in the other. See, what do you mean by that? Well, we have the betrayal of Judas in effect. We also have Jesus praying in the garden. As he pours out his heart to his Father, there are two dynamics going on, which, my friends, listen, it's always that case in life. This morning, if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, there is a dynamic that is going on in your life, and it is at least between two worlds, at the very least. There's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of darkness. There are spiritual entities at war, the Bible says. There's the reality of the spirit. There's the reality of the flesh. That is the world that you and I live in. There's things going on that we are unaware of, and yet they are real. Did you guys see the news last week that NASA let us know? They let us know that a meteor or an asteroid passed a couple weeks ago, only 8,000 miles from Earth, and some amateur discovered it? NASA was like sleeping. We don't know what was going on. And this thing was a near miss. And they made the comment that it even passed between some satellites and the Earth. It passed by and we didn't catch it. But 15 hours in advance, 15 hours, oh no, it's coming. And everyone was hush-hush about it because they didn't know what was going to happen. Was it real? Yeah, they got pictures of it. Are they now tracking it? Oh, now they're tracking it. Thank you very much. Did we see it? We did not see it. Just because we didn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't real. It's real, but we didn't see it. And the spiritual life is much like that. It is very real, even though you can't see it. Everything that's going on in your life and in your world, be it a Christian or a non-Christian, there are powers behind those things that are real, says the Bible. Keep that in mind, because we're going to be learning about your life as a believer and a Judas in the midst. Luke 22, verse 39, follow along with me. Coming out, that is out of the upper room, he, Jesus, went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, about some 50 yards, 40 yards away from them. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow, or because of sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12. You ought to underline that, one of the 12. It's amazing. went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? This is famous stuff, man. This is radical. Even in the world, if you're in a corporate setting, I remember the company that I came from and retired from, or left, I should say, resigned from, to come and do the church. We had incredible security. We had to go through levels of security. The research lab that I worked in, it was very, very extreme cutting edge, very high tech, and there was a lot of corporate espionage. There's spies sent from other companies. There are people hired that it's all just like military world. They're trying to sneak in and find out what's going on. And there's all kinds of levels to go through. And it's just amazing stuff. Here in the midst of Jesus' ministry, in fact, for the 3.5 years that Jesus has been ministering, raising up the disciples, there's one in the midst, and his name's Judas, Judas Iscariot. And this morning, we'll look at 5 things, maybe more, that we will learn from regarding our lives and where we are at as believers, and how we can identify our own walk with God versus a mock or fake walk with God. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? There's a fake walk with God? Oh my goodness, the Bible speaks often about those who are in or among us. That the Bible says, for example, they were with us, but they departed from us because they were not of us. Jesus said in Matthew 13 that there are those who believe for a while. So when we talk about being a believer, what does that mean? Do you have the belief in Christ that takes you to the place of faith in him? Many people believe in God, but it doesn't mean they enter heaven. The truth of the matter is, those who have faith in God do. Those who are putting their faith in Christ will. So who are we and where are we in all this? That's why the message is entitled, You and a Judas. Number one, jot it down, note takers, it's this. The difference between you and a Judas is you've followed Jesus, but a Judas can't be found. You follow Jesus. When the going gets tough, those who are of true faith hang on to Christ. When the difficult times come, a Judas will flee. A Judas will go. A Judas will do things to justify their stance or position or their direction, but a believer hangs on to Christ in the midst of a storm. So verse 39 says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. Jesus prayed when he was in Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives. Note this, and his disciples also followed him. I love that. There are no longer 12 disciples following Jesus. There is one who is gone. There are now 11. 11 of them are following Jesus. Note with me, they're called disciples. A disciple is someone who is learning. If you are in construction, there is an apprentice, and he's learning everything he or she can from the journeyman. Jesus is the journeyman, and the disciples are the apprentice. They're learning. But look, it also says that they followed him. This is a great word. The word to follow means that they were placing, and you know this, we've all done this. It means to put your footstep in the step of one who's gone before you, ahead of you. It's kind of like when kids are little and you're walking at the beach in the sand. You know how tough it is to walk in the sand? And if you're walking in the sand, one of the smartest things to do is to put your foot in the step of someone who's gone before you. A parent in raising up a child wants their children to walk in their steps, assuming that that parent himself have walked in a good way, right? A parent should be able to say to their kids, follow me. Paul the apostle turned and said, follow me. He said, mimic me. He said, as you've seen me walk, so ye walk. And you think about what all that means. Jesus says, follow me. The Christian does that. In fact, in Matthew 16, 24, you can jot it down. This is what the Christian does. A Judas is not interested in this. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him question. Let him put up to the altar the things of himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires, listen, to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, the word means to give your life up to God. You can do that today by the way. It doesn't mean that you throw yourself in front of a train. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about giving up the controls of your life to God. That person will find their life. That means they'll find true meaning to life. They will find why they were created. It's not just to make money or to have power or to own something. That's nothing. Those are just little side things compared to a real relationship with God. And so Jesus says that this person will find their life. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What on earth could possibly be more valuable than your own soul? Your money will not live forever. It will not benefit you forever. Your power will wane. Your vitality, your youth will weaken. But a spiritual life, invest in the spiritual kingdom of God, Jesus says, lasts forever. A Christian is interested in that. Today, I don't need to tell you that in your heart, you're saying, that's my life, Pastor Jack. That's what I care about. All this material stuff is only a manifestation of what's going on in my real life. Have you seen people who are just blessed? They're just blessed. You know, you may not be a Christian here today, and you just stumbled in here and you said, what's this blessed word? I know we're guilty of talking Christianese. We need to stop doing that, by the way. And I need to stop doing it. When we talk to people who don't know Jesus, you go, man, we're so blessed. Hallelujah. They don't know what we're talking about. Hey, what are you doing over there? Just waiting on the Lord. That sounds crazy to a non-believer. Have you ever seen someone's life who it just seems like everything goes right for them? Christians say, he's so blessed. Well, what does that mean? God blesses obedience. He does that. In fact, even if you're not a Christian today, you can obey Christian principles and be blessed because those are eternal truths. But it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Very important. And so in following Jesus, this is what Judas can't be found doing. Judas is gone. There's only 11 disciples. Judas is gone. He's not in the garden. He's not following Christ. He's somewhere else. Now look, no one has called me to say, can you mention this today? Because my friend's going to be there. No one called me. If I say something and it fits, that's your business. But I'm going to tell you right now. In life, you are either following Jesus or you're not. Your life may look really good. You may look like a disciple. You might even look like one of the 12. Because Judas was numbered with the 12. In a church of 12 people, with Jesus being the pastor, one of them had sold their soul out to hell. That's amazing, isn't it? You would think, well, I want to go to a smaller church. It's just things are better in a smaller church. Well, you better find a church smaller than 12 people then. Because according to the Bible, 12's a number big enough to have a lot of trouble. See, Pastor, will you just pastor better? Be a better pastor. I could be the best I could be, but Jesus was the pastor of a church of 12. And one of them was a goofball. It's amazing. A Christian is concerned about yielding his life to God and living his life to God. And all the disciples, God bless them, the 11 of them, they're passionate about that. But Judas has got other passions. We know this from the scripture. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, mark it down. This is what a Judas does. He can't be found anywhere. Why? Because he is of this spirit. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 4, anyone who teaches anything different or contrary to scripture is both conceited and ignorant. In other words, he's trying to tell God what to do. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words, always fighting about something. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, fighting, slander, evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they don't tell the truth. To them, religion is just a way to get rich. Well, you can turn on so-called Christian TV and see stuff like that. Amazing. Judas was like that. Everything, according to the Bible, because his passion was to get rich, all this stuff that surrounds him. Can you imagine? The Bible spares us of all the weird stuff that went on in Judas's life with the other 11 disciples. Well, how do you know that? Because the man loved money. He loved riches. The Christian wants to follow Christ. What if you would hear today from Jesus if he was to say, the world markets are going to collapse and no one's going to have nothing, but pick up your cross and follow me. What are you going to do? Right now, you'd be confronted with being a real Christian or being maybe a Judas, where I'll be a believer as long as it benefits me for now. The world is full of that. Number two, the difference between you and a Judas is that you've taken faith seriously. A Judas doesn't. Faith is a serious issue. Verse 40 says, and when he came, that is Jesus came to, notice the definite article, the place. This is very romantic, and I mean that word. When the definite article there, the, is in front of place in the garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, where it was his custom to go to when in Jerusalem, the place is a very specific place. Do you have your favorite place? Think about that. Where's your favorite spot? Is it on a lifeguard stand watching the sunset? I don't know. Is it on top of the mountain? Is it out in the desert? Is it your bathroom or is it some tree in your backyard? I don't care where it is, but it's your place. Most men have their chair. Now that's my chair. Well, that's great. But has that chair been converted? Is it a place of prayer? Is it a place of Bible reading? What about that chair? What about that car? What about that place? Is it yours? And Jesus came to this place, and it is the place, and the word implies that this is where, in Jerusalem, he would commune with his Father. It was a sacred place. In fact, check this out. Most scholars understand that this portion of Scripture that we're at today, God could have left out of the Bible. We didn't have to have it. Why? It's known as the Sanctus Sanctorum, the sacred sanctuary. It's where Jesus meets his Father. You don't have to go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome to meet with God. You don't have to go to church to meet with God. We are in a sanctuary. Up until you guys walking in here, this place is labeled a sanctuary on a drawing, but it's not a sanctuary until you come in. It's only an empty building. You make it the sanctuary. Wherever you commune with God is the sanctuary. Jesus is on the side of a beautiful hill, covered in olive trees, and he's meeting with his Father. Christian, we need to take our faith seriously. I know you do, and that's why you're here. Faith is an amazing thing. We expect it from people. People expect it from us, just on the human scale. But God demands it, and it's a serious issue. So Jesus came to that place, and look, the Bible says that he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Notice with me that according to Jesus, the way to flee temptation is by prayer. Mark it down. Listen, do you keep stumbling in a certain area? You want to know why? You're not praying. What is it? Buying stuff? Is it temper? Is it peeking at that pornographic site? Is it doing this thing or the other? What is it? And God says, that's sin. Get away from it. It's going to kill you. Stop it. Listen, church, listen. This is vitally important. You don't need an exorcism. You don't need holy water sprinkled on you. You don't need to do laps or even vacuum the sanctuary. You know what you need to do? The Bible says that we need to pray. See, what do you mean pray? You're supposed to stop right in the middle of driving on the highway. I'm supposed to stop? No. You're supposed to pray always, the Bible says. Okay, well, how do I do that? It's an attitude. It's a mindset. You know how your mind is always going? I'm a mess, personally. When I wake up in the night, once my mind is so full of stuff that when I wake up, it's over for me. That's it. I mean, we might as well turn on the lights and get ready for the day. This morning, I went to bed last night. I don't know. It was kind of late, actually, for me on a Saturday night. I went to bed at like 9 o'clock. That's like, woke up at 1:30. Bing, lights on. Hello. Because things start going. Do you like that? Things start going. Shh. You know what I'm supposed to do? According to the Bible, I'm supposed to pray. You're going to be thinking anywhere. Be in the mindset of praying. Christian, we need to exercise that. Get up and talk to God. Start leaving reminders all over your bathroom or all over your living room or in your car, at the office, wherever. Remind yourself, pray. Just put that word up, pray. And you start talking. And my friends, your prayer life should be, Lord, what do you want me to do about that thing? And you know what? I don't know if I'm going to pass this test. It's hard. I don't think I have it. I need your help. Talk to him like that. It should be no different than how you talk to your friends. Talk to him. By the way, if you do wake up in the middle of the night and you want to go back to sleep, there's only one way. Pray. When you pray and it's late at night, listen, Satan does not want you to pray. So guess what he does? He breaks out the violins from hell and he's going to put you right back to sleep because the last thing he wants you to do is be talking to your father. So you win either way. Pray. Why worry? Somebody wrote a book years ago. Why worry when I can pray? Isn't that a great answer? We spend so much time worrying. Hey, stop right there and say, God, I'm concerned about this. I'm freaking out about this thing. Lord, I'm scared. Lord, help. That's prayer. Pray. Amazing. Jesus said it's the key in fighting temptation. So that when that thing knocks on your life again, you can say, nope, and just move on. It's not your strength. When you pray, you connect with heaven, and heaven's strength comes, and you can walk away from that thing which you thought you couldn't walk away from. Amazing. The Christian responds this way, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, Paul wrote to the Ephesian believers, be strong in the Lord. And I love that. Some people will say to us, you know, you just need to be strong now. Have you ever heard somebody tell you that? Be strong. Listen, what if you ain't got the strength? You just be strong. Buck up. Just face it head on. Be strong. I love what the Bible says. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. I need his strength. I am not strong enough. My heart breaks over so many women who are raising a family whose husbands have left them, and people tell them, be strong now. Do you understand that woman has been placed in an almost impossible situation in a world that God did not want that to happen? And then somebody says, be strong. You know what? If that's you today, you can throw your arms up to your God and say, you know what, God? I want the strength of the Lord in my life because I ain't got it. I need it. And God's strength will come. Paul goes on to say this. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery, deception, the wiles of the devil.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called You and a Judas. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this means that we have just two more chapters to go in studying this New Testament narrative. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your day, you may be interested in what we're currently making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.